This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, I can make godly decisions in life.
We're in the midst of a series of messages on the spiritual benefits of the Christian life. And as we talked last time, when we talk about the spiritual benefits of the Christian life, we're not talking so much about what happens in your circumstances. God will change your circumstances. Amen? Amen. How many of you know, you've heard the expression, prayer changes things? God responds to prayer when it is rightly given. Amen? And he will change your circumstances. But as we saw last time, the biggest issue in terms of spiritual benefits is not what God does on the outside to change your circumstance. It's what he does on the inside before he even changes your circumstance. God will use our circumstances so many times to do a work in us before he's ready to change the circumstance to relieve the pressure. And what do we always say? God, fix it now. Amen. God says, I'm still working on you. Hallelujah. Still working on you. But when the time comes, he will take the pressure off because God is interested in changing us. The greatest gift that God gives us when we become a Christian is that he releases us from slavery to sin and self, to our own desires, the lust, the Bible says, of our flesh. He releases us from bondage to all of that and gives us the ability to make godly choices in life. Think about this. The Bible says, what you sow, you will reap. Isn't that right? Every choice, every decision that we make has consequences. You made the choice to get up and come to church this morning. That will have consequences in your life. My faith is that God is going to change your life for the better in a measurable way because you're here today. See, every choice we make has consequences. What we sow, we reap. And so if we're going to have abundant life, we have got to learn to make godly choices in life. Catch this. When you make godly choices on a consistent basis, it will produce the abundant life. When you make godly choices on a consistent basis, it will produce the abundant life. Now, the question we're dealing with is this. How can I make godly choices in life? We've been going through the book of Romans. Amen. And so we want to look today at Romans chapter 7. Because in Romans 7 and in Romans chapter 8, what the Apostle Paul is dealing with is the relationship between Christians and God's law. And what he's really telling us is, if I am going to be able to make godly decisions in life so that I can have the abundant life, I need to understand what I as a Christian am supposed to do about the law of God. Now, you may think you already know the answer to that question. We've been talking about obedience. We've been talking about the importance of not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So you may think you already know the answer to the question of what you're supposed to do about God's law. Obey it. But as we look at Romans 7 and 8, I think we're going to find some surprises in how a Christian is supposed to relate to the law of God. Let's start off with a definition. What is a law? The law is a standard of conduct and behavior set in place by and enforced by those in authority. a standard of conduct and behavior. It's what's expected of you. In fact, it's what you are obligated to do by those who are in authority, who have the power to enforce the law. In other words, this is the way we put it, it's the rules and regulations of life. That's what law is. Rules and regulations. And so you know that there are laws in the land that you are obligated to follow. And what's the purpose of law? The purpose of law is to help you make wise decisions. That's what laws are for, to help you make wise decisions. What's the purpose of traffic laws? To help you make wise decisions. Let me tell you something. If there was no law about how fast you could go, my driving habits would be different. I hate going slow. Amen? So the law helps me to make wise decisions about traffic. Kids, there are truancy laws that help you to make wise decisions about going to school. I won't even ask for a show of hands, but how many kids here? No. Adults, you look bad. How many of you, if you hadn't had to go to school, you never would have graduated? Let me just see. Amen. See, laws help you to make wise decisions in life, even about things that at the time you wouldn't want to do it that way. God's law is for the purpose of helping us to make wise decisions in life. One of God's laws says this: thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not go into another man's wife. Let me tell you something. That's a wise law. See, when I was growing up, I found out just by looking at what happened to other people, you go messing around with another man's wife, you can get yourself shot, you can get yourself stabbed, and that's the least of it. Amen? See, that's a wise law. It's to help you to make wise decisions. That's what law is for. Now, catch this. Here's surprise number one. The law helps you to make wise decisions, but there is a difference between a wise decision and a godly decision. A difference between what is a wise choice and a godly choice. A wise choice is guided by what seems to be most profitable for you. I mean, the reason I don't go sneaking around my neighbor's wife is I am afraid of the consequences. Amen? And therefore, to avoid negative consequences, I stay away from her. That's a wise choice. But what's a godly choice? I don't want to break the heart of God. I love him. I know he loves me. I want to do what is pleasing to him. And so it wouldn't occur to me to go sneaking around my neighbor's wife, whether she had a husband at home or not, whether he owned a gun or not, whether he was a little wimpy milquetoast or not. Doesn't matter. Why? Because I do it for the love of God. You see the difference between a wise decision and a godly decision? A wise decision may be motivated by self-interest. A godly decision is motivated by the love of God. Go to Romans chapter 7. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. Let's see what the Apostle Paul had to say about Christians living under the law of God. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now, Paul is giving an illustration here to illustrate the fact that as Christians, we are no longer bound to the law. Well, in order to understand what he's talking about, there are three facts that we need to look at. Number one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Don't go there. I'll just tell you what it says. 1 John 3, 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. In other words, when we break the law of God, what are we doing? Sinning. We've had a definition of sin that we've used here in this series of sermons just to bring it on home. When I know what God wants, and I know what I want, and I choose to do what I want instead of what God wants, what am I doing? Sinning. That's what sin is all about. I know what would please God, I know what honors Him, and I know what my flesh desires, and I decide to do what I want to do. And God says that is lawless. Whenever I break the law of God, I am sinning. Here's the second thing we need to know in order to understand the example that Paul gives. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That's what we've been talking about in this series of messages. When you became a Christian, that old man, that part of you that delights to sin, that just wants to go into sin like a pig wants to go back to its slop. Hallelujah. That part of you did what?
Died.
And in the example that Paul is giving us here in Romans 7, what we were married to was that old man. That was our old husband. He says when a wife is married to a husband, she is tied to him as long as he lives. But when he dies, what happens? She's free. That old man died. Hallelujah. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Here's the thing that we need to know about ourselves. The first thing was that we needed to know was that when we break God's law, we are in sin. The second thing is that that old sinful man that loved to sin is dead. Here's the third thing we need to know. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The Bible says the law was never made for a righteous person. It is made for those who are unrighteous. Think about this. Suppose you're walking along the street at night and you see a wallet lying on the ground. And you reach down and you pick it up, you open it up. There is a driver's license in there and there's $500 in cash. And like that woman that would beat up her little kid, you look around, see if anybody's looking. Nobody's there, nobody sees you. What are you going to do with that wallet? It seems to me you got three choices. One, the driver's license is there, so it has the name and address of the person who owns it. You can pick up, go to the phone book, find out that person, pick it up the phone, call them, spend your money to buy postage and put it in an envelope and send it to them. That's option number one. Option number two is take the $500 out, go down to the nearest dumpster, and then, since you're a church person, you say, thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Hallelujah. No, but if you're really cool, here's what you'll do. Take the $500 out. Go buy an envelope. Put it in the wallet in there with the driver's license. Send it to the person and say, I found the wallet. There wasn't anything in it but your driver's license. And then you pat yourself on the back for being a nice enough person to send him back his driver's license. Now catch this. What would you do? $500? Anybody here could use $500 today? Let me raise both my hands. Anybody here? Now what would you do? If you are a person who would take option number one, you would pack up the wallet with the money in it and send it to its owner, then you are the person that God is talking about. You don't need law. See, the law couldn't make you send that money back. Law didn't know you had it. You could claim, I never saw the money. It was already gone. Nobody would ever know the difference. So it's not the law that makes you send it back. You see, if you're the person that would send that money to who it belongs to, in other words, who would not steal when you know you couldn't get caught, you don't need a law that says thou shalt not steal. So what the scripture is telling us is the law was not meant for righteous people. It's meant for people who otherwise wouldn't do right. So for Christians, the law was never intended for you in the first place. And that's what Paul is trying to show us. That old part of us that did need the law is dead. So now we are freed, and no longer do we need a law to tell us what to do. Understand this. Once you have accepted Christ, you are no longer a sinner. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. In the eyes of God, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord and Lord of your life, he doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. He sees you as righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Does that mean you're always righteous? No. But what does it mean? You're always forgiven. Praise God. You're always forgiven. And therefore, the law of sin does not apply to you because you are no longer a sinner. Isn't that great? You see, so what the apostle is telling us is we don't need to be under the law anymore because the law doesn't apply to those who are righteous. And if you're in Jesus Christ, that's who you are. What's the motivation for obeying laws? Let me tell you what the motivation is. Fear and guilt. Amen? Think about this for a moment. Suppose you knew that the state police were on strike, and so when you get out on the highway, there's nobody there with a radar gun. How many of you think you might go just a teeny little bit faster? Be honest, for most of us, the only thing that's holding us back from going 25 miles over the speed limit is we're afraid of getting caught. The law operates on the basis of fear and guilt. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are not supposed to operate on the basis of fear. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon on tithing. And I said something in that sermon that I hope you picked up on. One thing I did not want to do in that message was to try to motivate you to tithe. Now, you should tithe. Amen? Every believer should be a tither. Why? Because God set up his kingdom to operate that way. That's the way the church is supposed to be financed. You should tithe. But what I did not want to do was to motivate you to tithe based on guilt. Why? What does the word say? God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Where does it have to come from? From the heart. If you give out of the wrong motivation, out of a sense of obligation, because you think you have to, you're not giving from the heart, and God says you get no credit for that. You get no credit for it. You see, God is not looking for anything that is motivated by fear or by guilt. He's looking for something that is motivated by love. That's the bottom line. Why do we obey Jesus? Because we love him. Because we love him. Not because we have to, but because we love him. And that's why the scripture says we are not under the law. Let me tell you something. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Look at this. Look at what happens when you are trying to live righteously by following the law, even the law of God. 2 Corinthians 3, 6. who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, here it is, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter, that is the letter of the law, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. On Wednesday in Bible study, I was sharing about Priscilla. Priscilla's in school, working toward a degree, carrying a full load. She is stretched as far as time is concerned. But you know what she does? I shared this on Wednesday. I walk into my bathroom and it's clean. Yesterday, we were out and went to a function after we were here at the church. She came home tired. But on the way, she went to the store, bought food, fixed a meal, and brought it to me. And hallelujah, I am blessed. I want her to know I appreciate it. Amen? I appreciate it. And you know what? She never gives me the feeling that it's a burden on her. She's tired. It causes her to have to do a lot that she'd probably rather not have to do. But she never gives me the feeling it's a burden. Why? You know what? She's doing it for her husband. She's doing it because she loves me. Praise God. Amen? But what if I turned and say, look, I want my dinner on the table. I want you to go to the store and get this and that for me and come home, fix it, and bring it to me and serve me. And when you get through, then you can sit down and do your homework. How many of you know her attitude would change? Amen? Oh, yeah. Why? Because the moment I make it law, it kills. See, as long as she's able to do it freely out of love, then it becomes a joy. But the moment I take it out of the realm of what she can choose to freely give me and put it into the realm of what she has to do for me because I require it of her, it is no longer a joy, it's a burden. And that's why God does not want us to obey him and to follow him because of the law, because we have to, because we're afraid of the consequences if we don't. Then it's a burden, it's not a joy. What does he want? He wants us just to love him. He wants us to follow him because we love him. Go over back to Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Who is this one we get married to? To him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Do you see it? The scripture says the way we ought to see ourselves is we're no longer married to that old sinful self that loved to sin, loved, got pleasure out of sinning. It's dead. We are free. That law is no longer on us. Now we are free. And in fact, if you're a Christian, you have become married to somebody else. And who is he? Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. If Priscilla can get joy out of serving her husband, what kind of joy we think you can get out of serving Jesus? Amen. Isn't that great? We're married to him. We are his bride, the scripture says. The bride of Christ. And he loves us with that love. And we get to love him. And we get to serve him with that kind of love. You see, it's no longer of law. It's because of love. And if we love somebody, what do we want to do? We want to please them. Amen? We want to do that which is pleasing to them. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You see it? From this moment, from the moment we became Christians, we no longer serve God under the letter of the law, but in the newness of the Spirit of God living within us in order to please God. We want to serve him because we love him. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at this. Here's the way it ought to work for us as Christians now. As Christians, we are no longer doing what the law says to do because the law said do it. We're doing the thing that will please the one we love. And what does that lead us to? Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. James 2:10 says this, "For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." In other words, if you're trying to be righteous by keeping the law of God, you got to keep the whole law. You can't miss any of them. And you know what the thing that will keep you trying to do that is? Fear and guilt. And what that becomes is a burden that you have to bear. If you're trying to live righteously by keeping the law of God, it's a burden. It becomes a heavy burden because you can't do it all. You will never be able to cross every T and dot every I and keep God's law so that you can feel like you're being righteous. On the other hand, when you know you're under grace, Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." What is grace? Grace is the unmerited, unlimited favor and sufficiency of God to meet every need. We are under grace. Amen? Not under law. We're under grace. The grace of God. It's the grace of God that has already dealt with our sins. And under grace, look at what happens here. Instead of rules and regulations, what are we doing? We're trying to do that which pleases and honors God. Amen? Why? Because we love Him. Because we love Him. It's love that enforces the boundaries. Because of love, we say, now I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. I get joy from doing what you ask me to do. Bottom line, what God tells us is His desire is that we as Christians no longer try to obey the law for the sake of being righteous, but just fall in love with Jesus. That's all. Just fall in love with Jesus. You ever think about how good He is? You ever think about how wonderful He is, how much He loved you, that He was willing to put on human flesh and come and go to a cross and die for you? You ever think about how good He is? You ever think about the fact that the Scripture says that He is now at the right hand of the Father interceding in your behalf? That when the devil comes up and tries to accuse you before God, Jesus steps in as your advocate and says, "Father, don't listen to him. She's all right. I've already covered his sin with my blood. They're okay." That's what He's doing for us right now at the right hand of the Father. Can't you love Him? Can't you love somebody like that? See, that's all God really asks of us. Just fall in love with Jesus. And guess what? If you fall in love with Jesus, then automatically you'll want to do the things that please Him. And if you do the things that please Him, number one, you will obey the law. And number two, if you just fall in love with Jesus, do the things that you know will please Him in your life, He will take you to the abundant life. When we follow Him and are obedient to Him because we love Him, we will be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You want the abundant life? Just fall in love with Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomechurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.